The message today is entitled, Let Jesus In. Let Jesus In. In Revelation 3:20, it says here, Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Let Jesus in. There are so many people celebrating Christmas today, tomorrow, today, you know, and it's for the wrong reasons. Now, whether you're watching and you are a believer or a non-believer, this message is for everyone. Because I believe that even as believers, sometimes Jesus is just standing at the door knocking and we will not let him in. And that is not the will of God. The Bible says, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, how do you let Jesus in? By believing in him. That is how you let Jesus in, by believing in him. He knocks at the door. That door is your heart. That door is your mind. Inside that door are your emotions, your characteristics, your bad habits, your addictions, whatever it may be, your sin, everything. That's you. Jesus is wanting to come in so that he can transform you into the image that God created you to be, into the way God created you to be. Now, to the Christian, there are some things that you are doing today as a believer that you know you need to let go of. And if you cannot let go of some of those things, that is what you would call addiction. And you got to come to a realization today that God can do all things. God can break all addictions, all perversions, all, you name it, generational curses. God can break all of that in the name of Jesus. We must believe in the only name, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, in John 1:10, John says this, He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Look, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus came into this world and the world rejected him. He came to a place and the world said, No, I don't want you. But there was a remnant of people then and today that have opened their hearts. They believe in Jesus. And look, let me tell you, I got saved many years ago. You can say that. But it is every day with that same passion, that same drive, that same desire that you have to get up, especially now in the day that we're in the day of evil that we're in this world. Your resolve, your commitment to Jesus has to be greater now, today, every day, than when you first met him. Because the temptations are greater. Because the pull of the kingdom of Satan is greater. Because the doubts and the confusion and the coming of war and the coming of all of these things are in the world. And all Jesus is saying is, I knock at the door, and who, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. You got to hear Jesus this morning. Are you listening to the opinions of men, of the world, of your family? Or are you truly listening to Jesus? Because if you're listening to Jesus, yes, you're not going to be perfect, but you're going to be where God, you're going to be pleasing to God. And that has to be the goal of your life, first and foremost, that you're pleasing to God, not to anyone else, but to God. Are you pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a sweet aroma of worship? Your life, what you do, what you did out in that parking lot before you came into this church, is that a sweet aroma of worship that rises up to God and gives praise to God? There are some of us that still hold on to the things of the world. We still hold on to the reasoning of humanity, to the reasoning of men, and it's keeping us separated from the true thing that God wants us to have as we live on this earth. And you know what that is? Peace. Peace. John said it. He was in the world and he made the world, but the world did not accept him. But there was a remnant of people who did. And it's those people who are the children of God. So there are two kinds of people in this world. The children of God, those who believe in Jesus, and the children of the world, those who do not believe in Jesus. And also the book of John says that those are the children of the devil. There's only two kinds of children in this world. The children of God and the children of the devil. The children of the devil are not your enemy, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers of darkness in the unseen heavenly realms. You see, we need to pray now more than ever before for the children of the devil to become children of God. There's so much doubt and confusion, so many families under attack. And this is where we need to stand firm in our faith. At the end of the day, your faith, it's about faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Look, in Isaiah 53, 1 through 3, let me read this to you. The prophet Isaiah says this. He says, "Who has believed our report?" He's asking a question. Who has believed our report? It was the prophets. It was the Old Testament. They gave the report of the coming of the Messiah. Jeremiah, he pleaded day and night with Israel. Repent, repent, repent. John the Baptist, repent, repent, repent. And the enemies came. They invaded. Israel lost time and time again. They would come back to the throne of God and they would be blessed, but then they would be overrun by the enemy because of their idolatry. And idolatry, it was because of their unbelief. And because of their unbelief, it affected their children. And because of our idolatry and our unbelief in the world today, it's killing our youth. It's killing the children of today. Somebody in the house of God has to stand firm. As that tax collector stood in the back of the temple and Jesus saw him and he beat his chest and he said, "Oh God, forgive me, a sinner. I'm not even worthy of coming into your temple, but here I am." Now, we're not worthy of anything that Jesus would want to give us, but let me tell you this, when you come to him every morning with a repentful heart and a right attitude, he'll heal you. Now, I need to apologize to Jesus. Because this has probably been the toughest year of my life. It really has. I thought the other years were tough. This has been the toughest year of my entire life. And there have been times where I'm like, "Lord, I know you're there. I know you're watching. I know you're caring. I know you're moving. But Lord, I'm about to just completely come to the end." And the Lord says, "Good, that's where I need you." And I'm like, "What?" You know, we have to be real with each other. We have to be real with Jesus. Somebody told me recently, "Where's your faith?" I said, "I have my faith. I know that Jesus loves me. But in the teaching of prophecy, as you get closer to the times of the end, you get a better picture of what things are, how they are, and how they're being unveiled. And so you also see how people are, and it's so sad because it breaks your heart because things are being revealed in the day that we're in. If politicians are being revealed for who they really are, if people in corporate world are being revealed for who they really are, if perverts and billionaires are being revealed for who they really are, guess what? The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. Christians are being revealed for who they really are. Do we really love Jesus? Are we really going to stand firm? The prophet, again, Isaiah 53, 1, he says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has seen the strength of God, his mighty hand?" And I've said this before, because this is what Scripture says. It's one thing to move the heart of God. It's another thing to move the hand of God. They're not the same thing. It's another thing to move the hand of God. And that's what he's saying, that hand, that arm. You know, to who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It says here in verse 2, for he, and that means Jesus, it's speaking of Jesus. This passage, all of Isaiah 53, it's speaking of the coming Messiah of Jesus. It says, for he shall grow up before him, God, as a tender plant, meaning that Jesus will come as a babe. He'll come as a youngster. And as a root out of dry ground, meaning he came to Israel. Israel was dead in their sin. Israel was dead in their belief. And he came amongst dry ground, but says that he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When he came, nobody didn't think anything about him. Now, oh, wow, here's the Messiah. He came as an ordinary man, as an ordinary citizen. You could not tell that this was the creator of heaven and earth. And sadly, even today, we come into the house of God, and sometimes we cannot even tell that Jesus is in this place. We're dead in our songs, we're dead in our prayers. And therefore, we're bound by our sin. We're still bound in our addictions. We're still bound. We're still holding on to that bottle of liquor. We're still holding on to that cigarette. We're still holding on to that dirty magazines. We're still holding on to all these things. We're still holding on to money. We're still holding on to our foothold to get ahead in the world at our jobs, to buy that dream home, to buy that dream this, that spouse, perfect wife, perfect husband, to put your kids in the best colleges, things like that. There's so many things that the enemy will throw at you. And what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this world has nothing to offer you. What I have, I give to you. If you will believe. Verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid him. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. And he was despised and we did not esteem him. That still goes on today. People think that they can hide from Jesus, that they can hide their faith, but he sees you. He knows you. He created you. Let Jesus in. Let this day be the first day of your life that you go into places of glory like never before. You know, it's not a sacrifice to serve Jesus. It's an honor. Amen. It's not a sacrifice to serve Jesus. It's an honor. And all that you do, do is unto the Lord, not unto men. Because if we all did it unto men, none of us would be in this room today. You're here because of your devotion to one man, Jesus Christ. And to him, we Christians, we owe everything to him. You know, the Queen of England said that. The Queen of England, before she died, she said, it is not a sacrifice to serve, but an honor. And when I heard that, the Holy Spirit gave me that. It is not a sacrifice to serve Jesus, but an honor. Now, yes, as a Christian, we are going to have to let go of the world. But you know what? That's not really a sacrifice, because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Amen. He's the one that did that. All we have to do is simply inherit. We are inheritors. He took away something from us that is not a sacrifice. It is an honor. It is an honor for our name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life because we believe of the atoning work of the cross. It is an honor to serve him, to give of our money, to give of our voices, to give of our time, of our talents, of our treasures in this world for the name of Jesus, for the salvation of lost souls. It is an honor. But if we're too busy looking at all these things in life, we miss the glory of God. And it results in the lost never being saved. India is having one of the greatest floods in 100 years. And Pastor Prabhakar said this morning to me, I texted him at 4:30 this morning. And I woke up at 4 and I texted him at 4:30. And I said, brother, how is it going? He says, it's not good. So many lost. Homes gone. And I've seen the videos. He sent me some videos, and it's a flood. And that's what is flooding this world. And that spiritual sense, there's a demonic flood in this world. And you can only be saved by Jesus. I believe we are so close to the end of all things. What I'm talking about, the end of the church age. That's what I believe. But the world has never believed it. The world has always laughed at the gospel of Christ. They rejected him then, and they reject him now. And Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. But it's an honor. It's an honor to be adopted into the family of God. It's an honor to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus for eternity. It's an honor. And if that doesn't touch your heart today, you need to go to Jesus. I find myself evaluating myself, you know, because for so many years, you know, you live a certain way, and you don't realize that there are things in your life that need to change. You're a Christian, but there's things in your life that need to change. And I believe it all begins with just one word: humble. And see, that needs to be my goal, your goal, our goal, until the day we die. Every day we need to humble ourselves. Because I think when you humble yourself, you begin to find what it means to forgive, what it means to forget, and also what it means to love. And I think it's really hard, especially for Christians who are from Texas. It's hard to humble themselves. There's just something about being from Texas, being in the Lone Star State, you know, originally from here. You're used to doing things on your own, and you're used to getting things done no matter what. But when we have to face the kingdom of Satan, we have to be behind Jesus. In Luke 2, 1 through 20, I want to read this to you. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn." Let Jesus in. You know why we don't let Jesus in? Because we say, there's no room for you, Jesus. It's too full of the world. It's too full of self. There's no room for you here, Jesus. Fulfilling the scripture of Isaiah, he came in the lowliest of places. He came not announced, trumpets blasting, no, red carpet rolled out, no. And we know that those three men who were very wise from the far, far east, those men that came all the way, they traveled for a very long time, because way before they had seen the star of God. Those men had heard the stories that had been passed down from the coming Messiah by the prophet Daniel. Many years before, the prophet Daniel was in Babylon, taken captive. And even then, the prophets, like Isaiah says, this is the story of the prophets. They knew the coming of the Messiah. Daniel was amongst those prophets. And Daniel told of the coming of the Messiah. And these wise men from the Far East, they knew through word of mouth, through righteous holy men, of when this Messiah would come. And they were the first to show up. And they were the first to see, one of the first to see Jesus. After about two years, Jairus saw Jesus. And they were the first from their land to bless Jesus. They made an effort. It wasn't a sacrifice, it was an honor to travel a great distance to lay gifts at his feet. But yet in his own town, where his mom and dad were known, there was no room. In verse 8 it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds in the field said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it, they marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." You know, why is it that when Jesus came, that it was the angels and it was the glory of God that revealed it to the shepherds and not to anyone else? They didn't come to the king. They didn't come to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't come to the temple of God. They went out into the field to the shepherds. Because this is symbolic. I want you to hear something right now. This is symbolic of what every Christian is to be. We are all our brother's keeper. We are all shepherds. We're all called to seek after the lost. Those shepherds of those day in biblical times, it was a lowly job to be a shepherd. They stunk. They were out there with the animals. They lived out there with the animals day and night. They stunk. It was not a job that you would want, but somebody had to do it. To them, it was a sacrifice, but later it would become an honor because we know Jesus as the great shepherd. We know that Jesus has a flock. And so that we can identify the great meaning of what this meant is that this glory of God, this announcement, it came to these men out in the field that were watching the sheep. You remember when Jesus told Peter, "Take care of my sheep, take care of my lambs." They became shepherds, co-shepherds, as Jesus is the chief shepherd. And it's not just to the pastors who are shepherds and to the evangelists and things like that. But I believe that as every Christian in the house of God, we all ought to identify with these shepherds in the field. They were doing their job. It was the middle of the night. It was dark. It was cold. It was stinky out there, but they were doing what they were called to do. And I think that as us Christians, we need to do what we're called to do. The only way we're going to see the glory of God, the only way we're going to see the glory and the power of God is by being that shepherd. Now let God give you wisdom on that, what that really means for your life today. About being a good steward of the things that you've been entrusted with. These shepherds, they went back to work, but they went back to work glorifying God. And we need to glorify God today. You see, Jesus came into their hearts. These were probably the first believers amongst the Messiah, shepherds. And they were able to do their jobs in the joy of the Lord. They were praising God. You know, when you go through everyday life, are you praising God? Are you doing everything you do as unto the Lord and not as unto men? This needs to change this year. See, the joy of their salvation, those shepherds, is now the power of God that was upon them. They went back to the fields in the power of God because they let Jesus in. You're going to go back out into that world after the service, but do it in the power of God because you let Jesus in. And when you let Jesus in, guess what? You're not bound by those temptations. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not. Jesus was tempted, and yet he did not sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. You will have things run through your mind, and you'll be like, where in the heck did that come from? You will be attacked in your mind, in your body. You will be tempted. But by the glory of God, Christian, you have all authority in the name of Jesus to lay that aside. I don't care what it is you're struggling with. I don't care what it is. I don't care how long it's been. It can be broken right now with the right attitude and the right belief in the name of Jesus only. That's it. It's done. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:1-2. That's it. Let us cast off the weight that so easily entangles us. The book of Hebrews. And my last scripture, Isaiah 53:4-12. I want to continue what the prophet wrote. Let Jesus in. It says in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. It's talking about Jesus. And he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? Who? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. But yet it pleased the Lord, it pleased God to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many. Hallelujah. For he shall bear their iniquities. And therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Early this morning, I read an article of a man who claims that he died and went to hell in 2016. And he was a clergy of a certain denomination. And he cried, and he said he had died on the operating table of a heart attack. He was medically, clinically dead, but they brought him back to life. And he said that he went to hell and that he was deserving of hell. And he said that he saw so many and heard so many great things. And he's like, why am I here, God? Why am I here? But he knew in his heart that that's where he deserved to be. And the next thing you know, he is out and back in the world. And he says it forever transformed his life. The man hadn't written any books. The man hadn't made any money off of this story. He simply just told it. I don't know whether this man is telling the truth or not, but here's what I do know. Every day there are many people that are going to a place of eternal separation, not realizing that God came in the flesh to do away for the payment of our sins that would send us to hell. I hope that we can learn today through the wisdom and the direction of the Holy Spirit how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to handle everything in life. It's only been a couple of years that I've done this, but I began to really seek God here recently about, you know, Lord, please, what is coming? What is next? I did that last year, and he told me, and seen so much heartache and bloodshed. But I believed, and what he had told me is that this is going to be a year of healing. That this is going to be a year of God making some things right with his people. And it's not just, and we cannot fight the Holy Spirit on this. But I'd heard there's going to be a great year of healing within the church. And so I said, Lord, I don't want to be that obstacle that would stop that work of the Holy Spirit. So be it, Lord. Let there be healing in the body of Christ throughout the world. Because, I mean, I believe you can say that this year, if you're really walking with Jesus, if you're really walking with Jesus, this has been a very difficult year. Amen. It has been. But that is what the Lord put on my heart, that this would be a year of great healing. And so I know that the God is the God of restoration. He's the God of hope. He's the God who took away our sins. And so it is an honor to let Jesus in every day. Come in, Jesus, and have your way. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what anybody says about me. Jesus, have your way. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Merry Christmas. Amen.